Blog Talk Radio.
To you, it's a beautiful, beautiful fall day here in Connecticut, and I think majority of the families that have been out of electricity, it seems as if everything is back up and running, so we are extremely, extremely happy for that. I want to welcome you to Open Forum Day. Today is the day when I accept your calls and allow you to share from your heart, your authentic core, your being, your true self. I'm opening up the microphones today to have you share that. Whatever is on your heart about entrepreneurship or business, I'm going to allow you, the callers, the time to do that and to share. And in between, I will be reading different quotes or contributions. I have a book here by Darren Hagan, What's Possible? 50 True Stories of People Who Dare to Dream They Could Make a Difference. So I'll be sharing a lot from this book. And I will interject with your calls. The chat room is up and running. And I have everything on one. Everything is in the studio. Vanna will not be with us today because she had another commitment that she will be to. And I don't know if Winnie Pooh will be on to help me. So, however, we are still going to go along today. We're going to have a fantastic time. The number to call to share what's on your heart, anything empowering that can help to lift others that have lifted you out of the dump, the number to call is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And if you're just joining, you have just tuned into the A New Day show with the dynamic Daphne Clark Hudson. And I want to begin this episode by reading a couple of writings here for you. The first one I'm reading, the title is My Robot, Are You Me Too? And I know this is a question for someone, or it's an answer for someone as well. I have a little robot that goes around with me I tell him what I'm thinking. I tell him what I see. I tell my little robot all my hopes and fears. He listens and remembers all my joys and tears. At first, my little robot followed my command. But after years of training, he's gotten out of hand. He doesn't care what's right or wrong, or what is false or true. No matter what I try now, he tells me what to do. And I don't know who that is for, but someone is listening. You might be listening live or on the archive. This is for you, because 4 years you have been allowing that robot to take you over. And you got to learn how to reprogram. So I hope you keep listening to this episode so that you can get your answer. The next thing I'm going to read is Seeds of Determination. It's up to me. I'm sure you always hear, if it is to be, it's up to you. Life is a do it for others, do it yourself project. Stop stewing and start doing. Take action today, not tomorrow. Life is not accountable to us for meaning. We are accountable to life. Don't put success and happiness on layaway. Do it now. Everything that is past is either a learning experience to grow on, a beautiful memory to reflect on, or a motivating factor to act on. Seeds of Determination is really up to me. You have given the greatest power in the world, the power of choice. Choose wisely. Giant oaks do grow from little acorn, but first you must have an acorn. What is your acorn? By thinking and acting affirmatively in this minute, you will influence the hour, the day, and the time, your entire life. You are your own script writer, and the play is never finished. No matter what your age or your position in life, we keep writing. We keep writing the scripts. We keep creating. We keep inventing. So it is indeed truly, truly, truly up to us. If it is to be, it's up to us. No matter what you have been through, no matter where you have been, you still have the power within you to choose to make a difference in your life. You have the power to transform who you are now and who you want to become. You have the ability to do it. So you need to wake up out of fear, out of shame, out of humiliation, and take action. Take action now, because greatness I'm telling you, I don't know who this is for, but there is greatness awaits you. Greatness awaits you. Greatness awaits you. You do not know what is possible until you take action. So as I promised, I wanted to share from this book, What's Possible? 50 true stories of people who dare to dream they could make a difference. Please allow me to share about the author, Darian Hagan. Welcome to a world where just about anything is possible. If you have big dreams or huge obstacles to overcome, you have come to the right place. Or maybe you just love stories that make your heart go zing. After more than 20 years in television news, I realize that's exactly what I love. It's very important to be informed, and there's a lot of serious news that needs to be reported. But there are also many people doing amazing things that are worth reporting. Those are my favorite stories, and there are not enough outlets for them to be told. If it is possible that a journalist who spent her entire career reporting doom and gloom could come to a point where she realized that she spent her days covering on traditional newscasts was completely at odds with her optimistic view of the world. Is it really possible that I walked away from a successful news career to dedicate my life to telling inspirational stories? It's not only possible, it's my own aspiring story. A story that begins with my getting fired. Well, okay, not fired exactly, but rather shown the proverbial door. The exit. I know that your contract is up at the end of the year, and I wanted you to know that we won't be renewing it. That was the big boss informing me that my 12-year CNN career was coming to an end. It was the best thing CNN ever did for me. Let's be clear. CNN, did some great things for me over those 12 years. First, they plucked me out of Phoenix Television and helped me transform from a local news reporter to a national sports anchor. 3 years later, they moved me to the news desk, where I covered everything from war to Oscar. I traveled across Africa with Bono and the U.S. Treasury Secretary of State, Paul O'Neill, during that almost 9-year span. My home base was the CNN news desk as the late morning news anchor. I want to welcome guest 8070 to the show. Thank you for coming. Today we are doing open forum where we are discussing anything empowering about entrepreneurship that has touched your lives or has helped you to reinvent. Right now, I am sharing, if you just joined, from the book, What's Possible? And it's the story of a CNN news anchor, Darren Kagan, and there are also 50 other stories in here. I will be looking at the chat board intermittently and see if you have any comments or question or feedback, or the number you can call if you have a story to share is 646-915-8166. Okay. I had a front row seat on the roller coaster of the world. It meant that I was on the air as the second plane hit the World Trade Center on 9/11. It meant that I could be sitting there interviewing a senator only to be told in my ear, wrap up. We have Tom Cruise on the phone. Interview him about his Golden Globe nomination, or the King of Spain is on the phone. Interview him for 3 minutes. Then, while interviewing the king, I could be told through the earpiece, we think we have a school shooting in Colorado. You need to switch to the police department representative. For a news junkie, it was the kind of professional challenge I craved. Not the kind of job you give up willingly. That's why I needed to kick, that's why I needed the kick in the pants to leave. From the bottom of my heart, I can say thanks, boss. The hurt. Don't get me wrong. When I received the news that I was on my way out in January 2006, I didn't go pyocretin out of the boss's office singing. Ha-hoo! I am so happy. I'm going to go get transformed and the world with inspirational news. No, hardly. I definitely had to go through the process of what I call feeling the feel. Trust me, turning 43 and not having a tie to anything in the world that I could see at that moment did not feel good. On top of that, CNN had asked me to stay to finish out the last year of my contract. I had no intention of talking you off the air, the boss added. Then he paused. Well, I don't think I do. I let you know. So every day I went to work, I delivered the news to millions around the world, handled the Israel-Lebanese conflict, the Iraq war, really heady stuff, and tossed the weather with a smile. All the while, I never knew if that day was my last day. Yes, that part wasn't so much fun either. It's important to remember that as you read the inspiring stories in this book, Very few people skip the hurt, the sadness, the tears, or even the fears. The story begins when they work through those feelings and decide, okay, what's next? Elimination. My first step in what's next was what would not be next. I made a decision that was shocking to many. I decided I was done with traditional news, TV news. To some, it seemed like I was walking away from a boyfriend who had been good to me. I can see that. I loved my 20 plus years in the news. I loved telling stories on live TV. It's much like being in an emergency room doctor. You show up each day with a set of skills and you have no idea what's going to come rolling through the door. It's really intense. For the few hours you're on the air, then just like that, you are done. Come back the next day and do it all over again. Yes, I loved all that, and I still do. But I could see that both the news business and I were changing. Technology means jobs are disappearing. With all the ways to access information, now, how much longer will stations need an anchor delivering the news? And is no doubt that television executives like their talent young and cheaper. That's the main reason I never ask why. I never asked the boss why he wasn't renewing my contract. What was he going to say? We want someone younger. We can get someone cheaper. Two facts of life. I wasn't getting younger, and I sure didn't want to get cheaper. Before you yell lawsuit, or that's not fair, I must share that a bigger factor was at work. When I look back and I realize I wasn't being completely true to myself by reporting all that depressing news, newsrooms are a pretty cynical place. The old, if it bleeds, it leads. Philosophy rules again. I think it's important to report hard news stories, and it's important to be informed. But in my personal life, I was becoming someone who chose more and more to focus on the positive. We all made many newscasts about life in our mind. We pick a point of view, whether it's the world in a dangerous place, the world in a bad place, or the world in a good place. And then we go around collecting stories to support that idea. So, even before the boss booted me, had I been honest with myself, I was becoming someone who wanted to stress the positive. Once I did get the boot, How was I supposed to find the news as an inspirational reporter? Being seen by the public and the news business as a serious hard news anchor who was on CNN for a long time was now an obstacle I would have to overcome. I have my professional life reflecting my personal beliefs. I would have to make a big shift. I knew I could reinvent myself because I had done it before. That's how I made it to CNN. All right, I want to take a commercial break, and I will be right back sharing from the book, What's Possible? What's Possible?
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
Yes, and I want to remind you about the Vision Transformation Revolution Vision Weekend 2012 to take place at the Millennium Broadway Hotel in New York City on March the 23rd through the 26th. Our keynote speaker will be Simon T. Bailey, Brilliantaire. We have on the speaker's platform, we have Mr. Leon Ellis, who is a restaurateur, entrepreneur, and motivational speaker. We have John Mollock, who is a master of positive achievement. We have Crystal Washington, marketing and social media strategist. We have Mr. Willie Crawford, who is a joint venture guru and a millionaire. We have Brian D. Ridgway, who is a transformational mentor. And the platform, we have Ariella Michelle Durant, who is an attorney and speaker. We have Stephen Jackson, who is a new media guru. We have Dr. Cheryl Cuttle, who is a strategic planner and business development consultant. We have Sam Orr, who is the founder of Voice One Worldwide. We have Kobe Huberman, CEO of Strategic Landscape. We have also Ed Foxworth III, personal productivity strategist. We have Jennifer Sertle, who is an author and strategic expert. We have a design consultant, Chandel Pitts, owner of Black Cat Design. We have CJ Coyne and Will Coyne, who are also business development consultant. And we have James Nemley, who is the CEO and founder of the Better Business Builders. And I am the founder of the conference and your conference host. And I am looking forward to seeing you there on March the 23rd through the 26th. Here is what you can do for us in the meantime. Please visit us at facebook.com Vision Weekend. And just like our page and share it with your friends. Also, we are on Twitter. So please follow us on Twitter at Vision Weekend 1. Okay, so we are looking forward to see you supporting us. Continuing sharing from the book, What's Possible? Reinvention. Come to think of it, just getting to CNN is a wild What's Possible story. In the early 90s, I was working at a local TV station in Phoenix. The unspoken rule there was if you were blonde, you were a news anchor. If you were brunette, you were a reporter. Take a look at the cover of this book, and you will instantly know what my job was. Put simple, I did a lot of reporting. That wasn't entirely bad. The situation covered everything. So, in my 5.5 years there, I learned how to tell stories. Murders, floods, trials, riot, plane crash, political scandals. I report from every corner of the beautiful state of Arizona. I went live from helicopters. I went live from the bottom of the metro craters. I dug my heels into the melting pavement, craving record high, 122 degrees Fahrenheit heat. It was a great experience, but like most local news reporters, I wanted to be an anchor. In local news market, the anchors are paid more money and get a billboard along the town's interstate. At the time, that's what I thought was important. Each time there would be a small anchor opening, I would go into the news director and ask for a shot. "Oh, Darian," he would sigh, not believing we were going to do this dance again. "I've explained to you so many times, in television, there's just this factor. Some people have it, some people don't. Clearly, you don't. If you work really hard, one day, you'll be a good news reporter there here in Phoenix. But why would you dream of being more than that?" His rejection broke my ambition heart and yet made me more determined. "I know I'll show him," I would tell myself. "I'll just go become a better reporter. Then he'll love me and give me a chance." You can guess how this part of the story ends. I work my butt off as a reporter, and yes, I did improve, but no, I never get my chance of anchor news in Phoenix. I would see it at the time. I couldn't see it at the time, but that rejection was serving me. It inspired me to question what I really want to be doing. That was the first time I asked myself, what are the stories I like the best? Women don't do sports, he informed me. Men won't watch women doing sports. The answer then was sports stories. And you heard me just read the reply. I grew up with an older brother and a father who were both sports fans. Dad took us all to the events, USC football, UCLA track meets, Lakers game, and at the risk of dating myself, the Los Angeles Rams, when they were the Los Angeles Rams playing NFL games in the Coliseum, before they moved south to Orange County and ultimately to St. Louis. Back I went, marching into the news director's office. I want to do sports, I told my news director. Woman don't do sports, he informed me. Men won't watch women doing sports. No, this wasn't the Stone Age, more like 1993. And I knew this news director was wrong. Well, maybe he was right that I didn't have what that special it factor to succeed as a news anchor. But all you had to do was flip the channel to see that women were coming on strong in the world of sports. Robin Roberts, I have a call and I'm going to take that call. Caller, good morning. Your last four digits are 6586. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
This is Jim Nemley calling from New York. How are you doing, Dazzle?
I am wonderful. How are you, Brother Jim?
I'm doing fabulously. If I was doing any better, I'd have to pay somebody.
Wonderful. Well, you know, today the Lord have me doing open mic to allow callers to share anything empowering that they have used to reinvent who they are or who they're working on becoming. And in the mix, I have been sharing from this book, What's Possible. And this book has the story of 50 different people who dared that they would make a difference. And the author is Darian Kagan. She used to be a CNN anchor. I don't know if it's a book that you have in your library.
Mm-mm, no, I don't. Sounds interesting.
Yes, but this is what I'm sharing here now about when she was a reporter in St. Louis and all the different obstacles that came her way prior to being fired after 20 years there. And I know that there are a lot of us as entrepreneurs who are faced with these same things. We have gotten insight into what we were created to be, but still we are held hostage by what we call benefits and all those things and the fear factor that has been instilled in us.
That's for sure.
So, you know, I'm glad you call in, and I want to give you time on the microphone to share what you so feel led to do.
Well, you know, when you're talking about a person getting themselves freed up, I think that what unfortunately happens is a lot of times people mistake being able to own a business as being an entrepreneur. And mm-hmm. I'll explain what I mean by this. Owning a business means that somehow or another you have enough money to actually own a business, no matter what the size is.
Mm-hmm.
But owning a business no more makes you an entrepreneur than standing in a garage makes you a car.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And it's based exactly on what you just talked about. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of people who have struck out on their own, And they never did break that bondage of being an employee. And I want to make this abundantly clear. There's nothing wrong with being an employee. Okay? Mm-hmm. Nothing at all. Mm-hmm. But it takes a whole lot more than being able to do a thing to become an entrepreneur. Being mm-hmm. an entrepreneur means you're willing to take the risk, mm-hmm. but along with taking the risk, you've done your homework. You've done all the research that's necessary. You have the resources in place. You know exactly what you need to do to run a business, and then you strike out to do what it is you want to do. Mm-hmm. It's not simply because you have the money to launch something and it's been your dream to launch something. Well, if you're not ready to do it, then don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that's for sure. You can never get an entrepreneur to stay on any job for any appreciable period of time. And mm-hmm. the reason for that is that they're always coming up with something that's going to be able to be moved forward by their own abilities.
Mm-hmm.
However, in this day and age with jobs being downsized, with people being unemployed, you have more and more people that are entering into business ownership that really don't understand what it is to own a business. And
mm-hmm.
it's very concerning, and that's why you're seeing such a huge failure rate out there. I mean, the failure rate right now isn't mm-hmm. even being calculated because it's exceeded where it even was once before. It's exceeded that, you know, and
mm-hmm.
it's really scary.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
So my word out there for folks is, you know, if you're ready to take the plunge, then think about it for a moment. Have you done all of the homework? Have you invested in yourself? That's number one, invest in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Learn everything there is to learn, not
mm-hmm.
only in how to do what you do, but
mm-hmm.
learn what you need to know about running a
mm-hmm.
business and running a business profitably. Do not take a step out until you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down and learn how to put together a business plan. I'm not talking about downloading a template.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people download templates all the time, and then
mm-hmm.
you know, what they do is they just fill in the gaps, they fill in the lines. Well, one of the things you can't fill in is experience. If you
have experienced
running a business,
mm-hmm.
then you know what that's like? Let me tell you something. If I wanted to learn how to fly, and I go to a flight school, and they hand me a template to fill out a flight plan. Okay, so I go back and I fill out this flight plan, right? Now, when I come back and bring it to you, are you ready to fly with me?
Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah, you're not ready to fly with me. You're going to say, you need to learn something before I get in there and
exactly.
fly with you. So then, if a person has never run a business before and they download a template and they fill out this thing called the business plan, I'm not ready to fly with you in your business because you've never done it before. All right? So learn not just how to write a business plan. Learn what the plan is about. Every one of those business plans has very significant areas, and you need to understand what that means. Four very distinct areas would be, number one, organization and management. What is your organization? You know, what is your organization going to be? And I'm talking now about whether it's going to be an LLP, an LLC, a C corp, a sub S corp. Is it going to be a sole proprietorship? Have you spoken to an attorney to figure out what will be best for you? That's number one, figuring out the whole organization. Then your management. Who are you going to pick to be on your board of directors? All right, and I'm not saying a paid board of directors, but I would want to set up a board of directors of people who absolutely know what it is to run a business and would have background in various areas that would help lead and guide you in making decisions. You could even set up an advisory board. Who's there? How are you going to set up your management structure in your company? and what would be required in terms of education and experience in order to put people in position. These things have to be thought out. The next thing you have to look at is your product and your services. What are your products? What are your services? How are they being received at the marketplace? How do you plan on developing your products and services? Are there things that you're going to have to get registered or licensed? Are there, mm-hmm. are they things that you're going to have to get additional education or to be able to do that? You mm-hmm. need to think about your products and services. Then you need to figure out your market.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
When you're putting together a marketing plan, your marketing plan is a vast document. You
mm-hmm.
need to
mm-hmm.
market study to find out the marketplace that you're going to be doing business in. You need to look at what kind of market share you want to get within that area. You want to figure out how you're going to pierce or how you're going to get into that marketplace. You want to find out who's already in that marketplace. So you need to do a competitive analysis, and not only comparing pricing and product, but you also need to compare how they bring their product to the market, because right now with the shrinking dollars out there, the marketing channels, your distribution channels are shrinking also. That means the different areas in which you can enter into the marketplace are shrinking. So have you done a study to find out how you're going to get in there? When you're doing your market, when you're doing your competitive analysis, you're looking at the competition out there. Are you looking at how long they've been out there? Are you looking at such things as how large they are? Because based on their size, tells you whether or not you're going to compete with them dollar-wise or whether you're going to compete with them quality-wise. And it goes on and on and on and on. And then finally, you have to look at your financing plan.
Mm-hmm.
You have 6 months' worth of money.
Give us a little more volume. Give me a little more volume. You just went low.
Oh, I'm sorry. Or
that's
do
okay.
you have the finances requisite to stay in business for at least 6 months without burning salary, without having to do anything unnatural?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at your financing, how are your personal finances? And the reason why I'm saying how are your personal financing, because if you have to go to a bank to get funds for your business, they're going to look at your personal finances. And if you have poor personal finances, they are not going to finance your business.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, today, even if you have a better than 700 credit score, chances of you getting a loan for your business are slim and none.
Mm-hmm.
So are you ready to really get out there and do that?
That's
whatever
right.
you do, do not put your house up. Whatever you do, make certain that you're not selling the farm in order to get into business. You wait until you grow yourself into that position. So
mm-hmm.
this is just some helpful tips on, you know, getting out mm-hmm. there and getting into it. You
wonderful.
Know, I know it really seems glamorous being in business, but I will tell you it's one of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life until you're doing it right.
That's right. Someone in the chat room said it is it's also good to have a mentor and also work along with the SBA. But you know, I just want to piggyback while you catch your breath there, Jim, on what you said about entrepreneurs and all the different things that we need to have into place. But over the years, one of the things that I see is a killer for entrepreneurs who really is not sticking it out to the end and doing everything. They become an entrepreneur, and all of a sudden now they don't want to work long hours. They want to take so much more time off. And I oftentimes have the conversation with people and ask, when you work your job, how many hours you were working? And they are quick to say X amount of hours plus overtime. And then I ask the question, and now how many hours you are putting into the business? And it is not even half of the time that they were putting in on the job. And a lot of times it's an eye-opener for people, because a lot of people think once you have the paperwork that say entrepreneur, it finished and you open the door. Well, it has not even begun yet when you do that state.
Absolutely. You know, the big problem there is they don't know, again, what it is to be an entrepreneur. They
right.
think that leaving from someone else's leadership is now going to give them a life of ease.
Mm-mm.
They don't realize that becoming an entrepreneur means you're, in many mm-hmm. cases, you're working longer hours and making mm-hmm. less money until
That's
you
right.
get to where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if they launch their business with the thought of being able to have more time, they are out of their mind. It
That's
does
right.
not work that way.
Mm-hmm.
They need to sit down and talk to people who understand what it is. You know, the person in your chat room said they need a mentor. What I do is I'm a business coach, as you already know, a business
mm-hmm.
coach, a business trainer, and business
mm-hmm.
They need to understand what it is they're about to step into before they step into it.
Mm-hmm.
I had a woman come to me one time who started a business. She was a banker, and she was making real good money. And she had been with the bank for 20 years, and she decided she's a single mom with two teenage sons. She wanted to spend more time with her sons because they were having problems.
Mm-hmm.
So she cashed in. All right, now listen to this. She cashed in her time. All right, she had a lot of time. She took her stock. She took her 401k.
Mm-hmm.
And she bought this high-end stationery store.
Mm-hmm.
She bought it all cash for $425,000.
Wow.
All right? So in other words, she had no more real cash on her.
Mm-hmm.
She had no idea of how to run this store.
Wow.
Ran it into the ground and lost everything. And when she finally came to me, I said to her, why did you get into this business? I mean, did you ever have any background in this? And she said, well, not really. I said, well, why did you do it? She says, well, you know, I had two sons that are teenagers, and they were having problems, and I thought that by owning my own business, I'd have more time with my sons.
Mm. My God. And you would think, as a banker, who I'm sure had to sit with many more of her clients who had gone into business, would have had a broader insight and outlook on what she was getting into.
Absolutely not, though. You know, you'd
well,
be
a
amazed.
Lot of people put the cart behind the horse behind the cart.
I know. Well, most, and you have to also understand something about a banker. Just because they're a banker, they may understand the dollars and cents, but they still don't understand everything
the principles.
That there is in the business. Exactly. So
mm-hmm.
she didn't understand all of that. She just thought that she would be able to, you know, now that she's bought this business, now she'd be
wow.
able to put more time in at home, and she'd
wow.
be able to go up to their schools and do this, that, and the other, not realizing
mm-hmm.
that now she's working 18, 20 hours
more
a day,
time. That's right.
7 days a week.
That's right. I want to welcome Apologies and Kimmy Poo to the chat room. She wanted time for her family. Yes, okay, yes. She wanted the time to her family. And what I would say there, Kimmy Poo, is that I think she acted out of panic versus out of concern. Because if she was concerned about what was happening instead of getting panicky, she instead of going to gym after she failed, she would have gone before. And that's what
uh-huh.
a lot of people do. They don't think they need something to maintain something. They think they just wanted to fix it. We do the same thing with our health.
Yeah.
You know, there are practices that could keep us healthy, but we don't do that. We wait till we're sick, and then when the bottom is falling out of the bucket, that's when we're trying to fix it. I'm going
Absolutely.
To come back for both your feedback. I want to read some things here about overcoming obstacles, which is persistent. Obstacles are what you see when you take your eyes off your goal.
Uh-huh.
Any great achievement is preceded by many difficulties and many lessons. Great achievements are not possible without them. After every difficulty, ask yourself two questions. What did I do right? And what did I do differently? Resolve in advance to persist until you succeed, no matter what the difficulty.
Absolutely.
Your most valuable asset can be your willingness to persist longer than anyone else. Difficulties come not to obstruct, but to instruct.
Right.
And I think this is just affirming what you have said.
That's absolutely the case. You know, people have asked me over the years, my answer has always been the same. They ask me, where do you find success? And I always tell them the same thing, and I've said this to you before. You find success at the intercession of preparation and opportunity.
That's
you
right.
have to prepare yourself to take advantage of opportunities in order to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't succeed if you're not prepared, and preparation comes before opportunity. Too often people think that there's an opportunity and they try to grab the opportunity, and then the thing blows up in their face. They say they lost the opportunity. Well, the opportunity hasn't been lost. Somebody better prepare it, took advantage of it.
Uh-huh.
So it's about always being prepared. And when you talk about obstacles, let me tell you something. If somebody tells you that they're successful and they never went through any obstacles, then I'm going to tell you they're a liar. They're a liar. All right? All right? They're a liar because there's obstacles every single day. Now, there's a lot of people out there that sell their success books, okay, from rags to riches. You see it all the time, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Rags, I understand. Riches is where I want to head to. But there's a word between rags and riches
that's talked about,
and that's two. What happened when you were heading to it? Two is where you hit all your obstacles, all right? But they know that people want to buy a book that teaches them instant success. There is no such
microwave.
Thing.
Microwave results and Band-Aids.
Doesn't matter.
You know something, Jim? I remember growing up in Jamaica, and certain religions used to have time when people get up and do their testimonies in church, right?
Right.
And you know what? Even as a child, I remember. You can know when something is missing out the testimony, because they start, and bam, bam, they finish. And I grew up thinking that, wow, everything just happened so quickly. But as I grow up, I understand that what is missing is that people never tells the whole story,
exactly.
Especially if they're talking about healing. They went to the doctor today, Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
They get the diagnosis, okay? And Saturday they are healed.
Uh-huh.
No talked about what happened Thursday and Friday.
How about that?
You
had my wife on the week before last, and she told you she went through for 20 years before.
20 years she went through.
20 years. All right. Day after day, week after week, false diagnosis after false diagnosis. On and on and on. Okay, now, yeah, she can get up and testify, oh, the Lord healed me.
Mm-hmm.
20 years. And now she's struggling to get adjusted to the medication. All right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. But she stuck it out.
But people don't want to hear about sticking it out.
That's right. We just want it now. Want it now.
Exactly. I get emails all the time, people telling me how these three steps will take me into fortune, to a fortune, okay? I've been a coach, trainer, and a consultant for 25 years, all right? There ain't no such thing. It's either I'm the worst one in the world or it doesn't exist. And
no, it doesn't. Like the lady, Kimmy Poo, in the chat room, she says, They are getting rich off selling the books.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right.
And
because
they know what people
are not understanding.
Want. Yeah, they know what people want. People want a fast answer. You know what? Let me tell you something. I could be highly, highly, highly successful because I know exactly, after working with over 4,000 businesses, I know exactly what people want to hear. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But I refuse to let them hear it. I do not want to become a part of their problem. I want
because
to
you're not adding any
solution.
Value.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, when it comes down to really trying to do it, do you remember the Karate Kid, the very first one?
Yes.
And Mr. Miyagi was teaching him karate. He was talking about wax on, wax off. And he was getting very impatient. Wax on, wax off. What are you talking about? You got me washing your cars. You're not teaching me how to do anything. And then he showed him how. Go, exactly, all right? That's what it's about. It's step by step. All right?
Yes.
We look at highly successful people. We're looking at a finished product. What did the raw material look like? What did the raw material have to go through before it got there? You know, you go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, that chicken looks awesome, right?
That's right.
It didn't look like that right after the mama cut the neck or the head off of that chicken, did it?
Mm-hmm.
The blood was spurting all over the place and it was running around without a head. It didn't look good enough to eat then, did it?
Wow.
It didn't look good when it was getting plucked, did it?
That's right.
It didn't look good when it was getting gutted, did it?
Mm.
It didn't look good when it was being wrapped up in the package, did it? It didn't look good until it got seasoned and it went through something.
Woo. Jim, stick a pin. Stick a pin. I want to do a commercial break, please.
Very good. You go right ahead.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
And for the past so many weeks, you have heard me mentioning about the Vision Weekend conference coming up March 2nd,
June
the 23rd. And you are just getting a taste of what's going to be on the platform because
that's right.
You are listening to Mr. James Nemley, who is the CEO of the Better Business Builders. And he is one of our entrepreneurial panelists. So you have an answer question, you need to be there. On the platform, too, is Chandel Pitts, who is a design consultant. If you are looking to stand out above your competition, you need to be crisp and sharp. And this is what she is good at. Then we have on the platform Jennifer Sertl, who is into trans leadership, trans training, how to reinvent who you are in today's world to make sure we are operating as great leaders. She's an author and strategic expert. Then we have personal productivity strategist Ed Foxworth III. Then we have Kobe Huberman. Kobe is from Israel, and he is the head of the peace initiative in Israel. However, he is a phenomenal entrepreneur who has run and operate a strategic landscape. He's also the co-author of Trans Leadership with Jennifer Sertl. Then we have CEO and founder of One Voice Worldwide, Mr. Sam Orme, with headquarters in the UK and Atlanta, Georgia. Then we have strategic planning and business consultant, Sherry Cuttle. And then we have new media guru and original geek, Stephen Jackson. Ariella Mitchell Durant is copyright and intellectual capital attorney. Brian Ridgway is a transformational teacher and mentor. Willie Crawford is a joint venture guru and a millionaire. Looking to leverage social media, then you must hear Crystal Washington, marketing and social media strategist. Jan Mullock is out of Scotland, and she is a master of positive achievement. And Leanne Ellis is a restaurant owner, and entrepreneur and inspirational, motivational speaker out of Harlem, New York. And then we have our keynote speaker, Mr. Simon T. Bailey, who is the founder of the Brilliance Institute, and he is also going to be speaking twice, Saturday night and Sunday morning. And of course, I am so blessed to be the founder of this amazing event. We want you to visit us on Facebook.com Vision Weekend and just check us out there and support us. We are also on Twitter at Vision Weekend 1. I want to welcome guests 8782 to the show, and welcome to Open Forum Day when you can call in and share anything empowering that you've been using in your business or just your life. You can call in 646-915-8166 and be part of the conversation. If you are just joining, the person that is here now sharing is Mr. James Nemley, founder of the Better Business Builders. Are you still there, James?
Of course I am. Also, yes, you're to tell your folks that if they want to listen to hear these speakers before the event, that there'll be some special shows that special radio programs that they're going to be able to hear each and every one of them week after week leading up to the event.
Yes, every Monday. And I'm going to have Jim. Jim is going to be hosting these shows every Monday, starting next Monday, every Monday from 7 to 8 on his radio show. And I'm going to have him post it on this radio show as well so you all can see and join in. So that's going to give you a first-hand taste leading up to the conference from all the speakers. Every one of them will be there.
And both Dr. Daphne and I will be questioning them, and they'll be telling you about themselves and what they do and what's special about them, and giving you some tips on how you can get yourself moving forward. So make sure you stay tuned to that. Like she said, this starts next week, and we're going to have Shondell Pitts as our first guest.
Yes, yes. And again, I just want to thank you, Jim, for, you know, just being so generous and wanting to really invest in my listeners, just to invest in my listeners. And, you know, we
dazzling
know
one.
That because
dazzling
of,
one. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because of the accessibility of the internet, we can add value to each other regardless of where we are.
That's right. This
is what I want the listeners to understand, that we came together as a group because that's what we believe in. And we want to add value to you so you can have your stories too and your time to add value to each other. So go ahead, Jim, with what you were saying.
I was just saying, dazzling ones, for you, everybody would do anything because you're all about bringing it to the people. So I have no problem doing this whatsoever because I know that it will really help a lot of folks.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Well, listen, are you open to taking any questions if anybody want to call you?
I'll tell you, right now I got to get into another meeting.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
I
want to thank you. Let me see. Okay, let me see what the Kimmy wrote something here for you. That
sure.
is important. Tell him thanks so much. Okay, she said thanks, Jim. She cannot call in today because she has a problem with her voice. But
not
she's
a
thanking
problem.
You for adding value. And she's now working on her business plan. So
there you go. Hey, look, I'm telling her. Well, she'll hear this. I'm really proud of her.
Okay.
Make certain that's a real solid plan.
Okay.
Make it for real. All
yes.
right?
Thank you. Thank you so very much for calling in and adding
not
value.
Not a problem. Be blessed.
Be blessed. God bless you. So bye. That was our business coach and consultant, James Nemley, who is a phenomenal person. He's also on the platform, and he just took time out today to be part of the open forum. So I'm going to continue sharing from the book, What's Possible? What's Possible? So you remember that Darian wanted to go into sports news, and when she went into her boss's office, the boss says that no man is going to listen to a woman who is doing something. Okay. All right. I saw your message, and we will speak afterwards about that, Miss Kimmy. So thank you. Okay, I know I need to know how to get back to the... I don't know how to get back to my screen. Okay, I just did. So, thank you for giving the website. Okay, thank you. Give your website. Okay, it's visionweekendconference.com. Let me just type that in there. Vision Week and Conference Okay, so I just typed the conference website there, and if people want to sign up, they can. It's not live yet, but hoping just the final touches. Okay, no, this was for Better, I think it's Better Business Builders. I will check me on Facebook, Kimmy, and I will give it to you because he's not, yes, he's a business coach, yes. Business coach and business consultant. And check on I'll send you a Facebook message with his website. It's, the radio site is Building an Extraordinary Business on Blog Talk with Jim Nemley. That's what his website is, and I'll send you that link. So that show is going to be every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern. So I want to continue here with this story for the lady. Oh, she wanted to be a news anchor, and she went into the boss's office. What if I do it on my own times, I countered. You are going to work 7 days a week, he asked. Amazing. How about this? I offered. We will try it for a month. If you think I'm really bad at sports, or falling down on my report's duties, you can pull me off. It's really hard for a boss to turn you down when you offer to do something for free. We had a deal, and I had inside information. Having worked for this man for more than 3 years, I at least knew how he worked. He was a family man. There was no way he was waking up weekend mornings to watch this show. I could do the sports gig for as long as I needed to. I did it for a year and a half. Yes, for a year and a half, I worked the weekend night shift covering the lead story for the 10 p.m. news. Weekends, I wake up just after 4 a.m. and came in and do sports. Learn how to cut highlights a whole bit. I want to welcome guest 9242 to the show. If you have an empowering story you want to share, you can call 646-915-8166. Today is open forum, and right now I am sharing the story of Darian Hagan, who was a CNN anchor for over 20 years in the news business until she got fired and began walking in her calling and purpose. It's a haircut. I want to welcome guest 9276 to the show as well. Now, it's a haircut. It would be nice if I could tell you all it took was hard work and dedication to take me to the next level, but it wouldn't be the whole story. I worked like crazy that last year while also sending out resumes, tapes to get another job. Nothing ziglish. I was applying for both reporting and news jobs. I didn't have a single nibble, and no one would tell me why. Finally, one of my best friends at the station, Carter Lee, offered me a lifeline. Carter was, as still is, blonde, and you guess it, the main anchor on the station. She is also very talented and hard worker and a tremendous friend. My agent, Gene Sage, is working with some woman doing sports. You should send her a tape, Carter offered. This sounds like an excellent idea. Like most people working on TV news, I too was working with an agent, but he wasn't giving me any constructive advice, let alone new job offers. But I have to tell you, Carter warned, Gene is very blunt. I gave Carter that. You have to be kidding me. Look, as my good friend, she knew what I was living through. One of those life near moments. I was working 7 days a week, couldn't find a new job, and my current boyfriend had dumped me. There was nothing Gene Sage could say to me that was going to hurt my feelings. So I sent her a tape. She too warned me that she tells it like it is. I just never expected her advice. You're actually very good, she assured me, but you need to update your look. Today, my look, I asked. Yes, she said. Cut your hair. You will be shocked how fast you get a job. Let me break into this story for a moment with some hair information. Even though I wear my hair smooth and straight, However, who am I straight now? I actually have very curly hair. And at that time, I was wearing it naturally curly, down past my shoulders. I would instruct you to the picture of the 80s being hairstyle only. I don't want to hurt your brain. I couldn't believe this was the advice for which I had been so hungry. Haircut? I asked someone incuriously, lady, I went to Stanford. I've won Emmy Awards. I'm working 7 days a week, and you're telling me it's a haircut? That's it, she assured me. Cut your hair, but be ready to go because the next job will come quickly. Powerful. I had nothing to lose and other advice to follow. I hung up the phone, went directly to the local salon, and went from 80s curly to short pixie. 2 weeks later, CNN hired me as a sports anchor. Woo! The two things new director in Phoenix told me, I would never do sports and anchor. I promise you won't find anyone else in this book who had to overcome the obstacle of not being blonde. Dear, dreams come true. Talk about dreams come true. If you are going to do sports, the network level is the place to do it. CNN sent me over everything from college football to the NFL to NBA and international figure skating. Someone had to stand next to Troy Aikman while he was wearing nothing more than a towel and interviewed him in the Dallas Cowboy locker room. Someone had to follow Michelle Kwan to interview her as she stepped off the ice in Russia. That someone was me. I was a wonderful 3-year run. Just as that contract was ended, CNN hired a new president, Rick Kaplan. He called me into his office. This sports thing is good, but have you ever thought about doing news? He asked. Sure, I explained every day that I went to work for 8.5 years. I just made this sports thing up. Well, he must. I'm thinking about making you one of my news anchors, but I only like anchors who have reporting experience. Do you? You bet, I blinked. That's all I was ever able to do for 5.5 years in Phoenix. I was never allowed anywhere near the anchor desk. That was the first time I could see that sometimes a struggle or a particular dream not coming true was actually preparing me for an event bigger than dream. All those times I cried for not having a shot at anchoring in Phoenix, I could never have imagined that I would become a news anchor for CNN. At the time that possibility was beyond my wildest imagination. Off I went to the news desk, to the late morning slot, 9 to noon Eastern. Technically, this time slot isn't as prestigious as the 7 a.m. to 9 slot, but I loved it. The world's day is just getting started, my late morning. It's when news starts breaking, when anything can happen, you have to strap in and go for the breaking news ride. Because the slot wasn't as high profile as the primetime news New York-based show, I had to talk my way into going on assignment. But that was nothing for me after being told all those years in Phoenix that I didn't have it. I covered the Washington, D.C. area sniper. I was on hand for the crash of the Shuttle Columbia. I saw war in the Middle East with the invasion of Iraq. And on the complete opposite side of the news spectrum, I covered the background of the Oscar red carpet. All those were incredible professional experience, but not the one that I found the most satisfying. All along, I love the stories that made my heart go zing. I even create a segment on my show called Your Spirit. My argument was the very Friday we could have a movie critic, Mr. Movie Phone. He has great and a lot of fun, but I bet more people do something with their spiritual lives over the weekend than go to a movie. Yet, traditional media doesn't cover that. It's as if spiritual matters doesn't exist. If traditional media does cover religion, it's about molestation in church leaders. Don't get me wrong. I think it's important to cover those stories. But for most people, I think religion and spirituality are about finding meaning in life, improving themselves, their families, and the world. Sometimes a spiritual act is simply doing something good in the world. Those are real great stories. Again, just in Phoenix, I did these stories on my own time. Little did I know I was getting ready for the next chapter of my life. Inspiration. After 12 years at CNN, I was now facing the big blank slate of my life. CNN was coming to a close, and I knew I no longer had the passion to go after another traditional news job. But what else was there? So many people are looking for inspiration. I don't know what I want to do. Why, they'll say, if there is one thing I wish I knew at the beginning of this chapter in my life, it is that inspiration comes in pieces. It doesn't just drop out of the desk all at once. It is a pile of bricks. When most people don't see it at once, they think it's not there. I had to learn that inspiration comes in pieces and that it can come from the most unlikely source. Now, how about this? I got the original spark to launch an inspirational website while looking at a site dedicated to war coverage. Yes, war. It doesn't get much less feel good than war stories. For much of 2006, Yahoo had a page dedicated to a man named Kevin Seitz. Kevin is a longtime war correspondent. I knew him from the days he worked at CNN. He also reported for NBC. The Yahoo page was called Kevin Seitz in the Hot Zone. One man, 1 year, one world of conflict. I found it fascinating that the internet was expanding to create individual page for reporters on a single topic. I couldn't help daydreaming. What would my 1 year, one page be focused on? While I had covered war, I certainly wouldn't be that. It wasn't my passion. That's when it came to me, inspirational stories, the ones I love more than anything. Why not Darren Carrion in the inspirational zone? One woman, 1 year, one wonderful feeling. It was the first time I was excited about anything since I had received the You Are Got to Hear news in January. I was so excited. In fact, I actually tried to give my idea away. I figure if Yahoo was excited about Kevin Seitz in the Hot Zone, surely they would be excited about me. I managed to talk my way into a Yahoo executive office and made what I figure was a brilliant pitch. Visitors get on so much when they come to Yahoo. You can get your news headlines, sports, stocks, and weather forecasts. But there, where in Yahoo, I ask, it seems straightforward to me, a no-brainer, that a basic for the brand, a user, would be able to feel Yahoo by visiting Yahoo. Another important lesson, don't take someone's blindness for your vision as a personal rejection. That is so true. The executive just stared back at me. Apparently, he didn't see the same basic brilliance. That's okay. Another important lesson. Don't take someone's blindness on your vision for personal rejection. It's just more information. You are meant to move on, but where? It turns out that what I received the next bit of inspiration from someone who has been one of my most brilliant business advisors, my young sister, Callan. She suggested I create the website myself, then build an inspirational brand into books and broadcasting. This time, I was the reluctant respondent. I don't know anything about starting and running a company, let alone the internet. Yet, As time went on, the idea grew on me, mostly because of doing it myself. I wouldn't have to wait for some executive to pick me to decide if I had it. This time, it was a matter of getting started myself. What is the name? From the moment I decide to head off into this uncharted waters, the most amazing thing started to happen. Like many people you will meet in this book, I found I could tell I was on the right track with the crazy idea because everyone and everything I needed just started following me. The first order of business was picking the name of the site. With 12 years in TV under my belt, I figure one of my strongest assets was my unusual name. There aren't many women named Darren. The name of my website was Simple Choice, DarrenKagan.com. Many of you have registered a domain name before. I certainly had not. I learned that it's a simple process. You go to a name of, you go to a number of websites, plug in the name you want to use, and for less than $10, you own the name. There's only one problem. If someone grabbed that name before you did, that's what happened to me. I typed Darren.com. The domain name has been taken. My computer screen told me. But how can that be? I wondered. I also figured it would be no big deal to straighten out. I just needed to explain the problem to the domain company. This could just take a phone call. Oh, how little I knew about the internet, I laughed. Clearly, there was some mistake, I explained to the person on the phone. The guy who registered Darren.com down in Florida is not me. We need to do something about that. I don't get the response I was expecting. The customer rep explained that it's called cyber squatting. People register names they think someone will want, hoping to sell the name back at a really high price. It would cost tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars to get my name back. I hung up thinking that was not the response I wanted to hear, and that had to be a better way. Then came yet another drop of inspiration. Let's just test this. I challenge myself. What is this website supposed to be doing anyway? Love or hate? Let's just see. I had the person's email address and decide to write him. Dear Mr. Boone, I wrote, thank you for thinking of me when you registered domain names. But now the time has come for Carrion.com to go back to its rightful owner, which, of course, would be me. I talk with the domain company, and it's no big deal for you to transfer ownership. 3 clicks and you can hand my name back to me. That is in fact true, but the owner of the domain name must be willing to hand it over. My email didn't mention money. I didn't mention lawyers. I didn't even say what I want to do with the website. Thomas Boone called me the very next day. He's an artist in Boca Raton, Florida. He emailed some pictures of his work. Of course, I told him how nice his work was. He eventually got around to the topic of Kagan.com. Why didn't you ever register your name? He asked. I never had anything I want to do with it, I explained. But now I do. Then Thomas Boone became pensive. Why do you think I have your name? He wondered aloud. Why do you think, out of everyone in the world who would have received your name, I have it? Yo, I don't know, I replied. Honestly, I was starting to get a bit nervous, especially as he paused. Silence. Then he said, I think I know why I have your name. Why is that? I asked. I think I was meant to hold on to it so that no one else would take advantage of you, he explained. Whoa, well, can I have it back? I asked politely. Yes. You can have it back, he answered. Just like that, that night, Thomas Boone did the 3 clicks it took to transfer ownership to me. Not a dime exchange hands, no lawyers, nothing. I called the domain company just to make sure that everything the right way. The techie on the other end of the line couldn't believe what he was hearing. I hope you appreciate that this never happens this way. He wanted me to know. It was just the beginning of so many wonderful things that happened to launch me on my new pathway of delivering inspirational stories to the world. As I moved through, great, how can we get it done? As I moved closer and closer to leave CNN, I started sharing with my colleagues my plan to launch Darian.com, DarianKagan.com. Friends were interested in my next move, and I knew there was a lot of talent around the building that would give me guidance, since I had so much to learn. That included learning to shoot my own stories. Of course, when you report at the network level, you have the most talented crew who go with you to do the stories, shoot the videos, and record the sound. It's powerful to have professionals because there is a very special way of shooting video so that it can be edited into a smooth-looking piece. It can look like a home video, but now I was scrolling down to what we like to call the one-man band. Just as in small market television, I knew there would be times when I would have to take my own camera and shoot the story myself. I needed some shooting lessons, and I knew just whom to ask. Don Young was my shooter when I traveled to Africa in 2002, covering the U2's Bruno and the U.S. Treasury of State Paul O'Neill. He was the sunniest of souls, always eager to help and to figure out challenge. No matter what someone would ask, Don's response was, "Great, how can we get that done?" And he always appeared delighted and honored that you would ask for his help. Shortly after our trip to Africa, Don was promoted to CNN chief videographer, managing Grand Puha Big Cheese. He was in charge of every CNN videographer, but it didn't change him a bit. He was still the great guy whom everyone would always ask for help. I thought, I will ask Don for shooting lessons. Great idea. But it never happened. Summer 2006, 3 weeks before I left CNN, Don suddenly came down with leukemia. A week later, he died. There are no words to describe how shocking it was. Vibrant, healthy, nonstop energy, Don died at 47. It devastated the network. This wonderful man, a friend who spent more than half of his life working at CNN, was gone too soon. Don's funeral was standing room only, and that was in the extra spillover room. There was no church that could hold all the love that showed up for Don that day. As I looked over at his wife, his young son, and his twin brother, my heart ached for them. The next day in the CNN newsroom, I ran into another longtime CNN shooter, Dave Haberlin. We hugged. We shared memories of Don. Then Dave asked me, "What's this project you're working on? Tell me about your website." I told him about Darren.com and got a brilliant idea. I would ask Dave to shoot for shooting lessons, plan B. "Hey, Dave," I said. I could really use your help. I could use some shooting lessons." Then one of the most incredible things happened. Without missing a beat, Dave looked at me and said, "Don took care of that." What? Surely Dave had misunderstood me. I never had a chance to explain my website to Don, let alone ask him for shooting lessons. how would he have taken care of it? But Dave insisted that that was exactly what Don had done. 2 weeks earlier, he had written down a lesson plan explaining how to shoot a story so it could be edited into nice piece. Dan emailed it to me. Sure enough, it was line for line exactly the shooting lesson I needed from Dan. Thought the words, though the words, through the excellent instruction, I could feel Dan looking back at me. And that delight twinkled in my eyes, saying, great, we got it done. Whew, this is tearing. Oh, this is powerful. And I, you know, I really want us to continue this discussion here. I want you to check out DARYNKAGAN.com launches, and that's her website. And you know, this is such a powerful story. I'm going to do all that I can to see if I can get her on this show. This is powerful, powerful, powerful. And so it went day after day. Little angels and helpers keep showing up to help me create Darian.com, as well as the next chapter of my career life. November 13, 2006, Darian.com went online. If you haven't already checked it out, I hope you will. You will find my daily website, haven't already checked it out. Yeah, haven't featured the story of the day. There are also 12 different buckets of category: animals, artists, business, celebrities, charity, nonprofit, heroes, kids over 60, overcoming obstacles, sports, world events, and other late addition. The love bucket, which is just great love stories. An interesting thing happened when I was creating the site. As I would tell people about it, they would get excited invariably, burst out, oh, I have a story. And was another piece of the puzzle that I needed to pick up. People aren't just hungry for these kind of stories, they want to be participants. That's why there is a big box on each page of Karen.com that says, tell me your story. About 70% of the stories on the website come from folks writing in. Some even produce stories themselves. I also quickly learned that stories have a magical, unified quality. I heard from leafless environmentalists saying, thank you for creating a site for us. At the same time, I heard from right-wing evangelical Christians saying, thank you for creating a site for us. To all of them and to everyone in between, I say you're welcome. These stories are for everyone. It's amazing what happens when you don't put a label on something, how it can be there for people of many political and spiritual beliefs to enjoy. The website was only up and running a few weeks when it became apparent this project would grow bigger than just internet. I started hearing from professionals in the book world. Have you thought of doing a book? They would ask. Yes, I had thought about it, but a book is a lot of work, and as I could do to keep the demands of the newborn baby website. Again, just the right people showed up to help me make this drama a reality, this dream a reality. Writer Bill Benson of Columbus, Ohio, was my cheerleader from the beginning. He's been a locomotive in my operation, keeping it going when I feel overwhelmed, helping to conduct some of the interviews, trading drafts, booking and forth with me, keeping me on schedule. Lisa Bertsowitz, the editor of Merritt's book, contacted me and spent good hours on the phone hashing out ideas. Now, and I would be setting free of having this book an experience. What an amazing story. And I am going to continue to share from some of these 50 stories that is in the book here. And this is powerful. This is so powerful. I think I want to share this on Sundays. So that's what I'm going to do for you. We're going to start sharing these on Sundays. So I want to thank you guys so much for, I want to thank Jim Nimley. I want to thank Kimmy Poo. I want to thank Apologies and all the other guests who joined in into the chat room and open forum episode. So I thank you very much and follow your destiny. This is the Queen of the Empowered Soul saying stay blessed, stay focused, stay transformed, and love yourself first.
Thank you. for showing me,
for showing me,
and directing me,
directing me,
hallelujah, to my destiny,
my destiny.
I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me,
for showing me,
hallelujah, and directing me,
directing me.
Speak to it, my destiny,
my destiny.
Come on, you declare it to the Lord.
Lord,
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
I speak purpose tonight.
For showing me,
hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah.